Good evening. Just a couple of, gotta get used to this. Just a couple of quick announcements this evening. I talked with Cora Thomas's mother, Michelle, and she said that Cora Thomas will be having another procedure again tomorrow, and they're gonna do some close up some of the wounds that they've left open. The rods, she's having a lot of pain because the muscles that are trying to get used to the rods that were put in her leg, that's real painful. So she's going to have some skin grafting done tomorrow. So she's going to have some kind of a tough road ahead of her. So continue to be in prayer for them. I just did want you to update. I wanted to update you. Sometimes it gets hard to get. It's hard to get your brain working sometimes when you get old, you know. So, sorry. What was I going to say? See? Her mother let me know that she had to take 30 days off of work unpaid. The way that her work worked with her, that was the only option she had. So she had to take 30 days off unpaid. And I asked her before if I could just mention the need. What our church did this morning was going to fill a tremendous need. They were in the process of moving out of where they were and buying a house, but she was short about $700. And then this happened. She was working to get this money to purchase a house and, put the kids into a new home. But this happened, and they thought for sure that they would never get the home. And anyway, she had to now take 30 days off of work, and she just didn't know how things were going to work out with medical and insurance and things like that. But this morning, our offering came to about a little over $1,800 with some things that are, I appreciate each and every one of you that have given and reached out in love to help that family. I talked to her this evening, and she just was overwhelmed with love and thankfulness, and she doesn't know how to thank our church. So she was very appreciative, and hopefully I'll be able to go see her tomorrow before or after the procedure. So that's just a quick update on her, and just another quick update. If you see or if you hear a little bit of, we're getting geared up for missions conference a little bit, and we're going to have kind of like a prequel to missions conference where we have two missionaries come in on a Sunday in July, if you see on the calendar. But then we're going to have the Barnes family that's going to come and stay about 2 weeks with us. And then with missions conference coming up, they asked if we could, if they could use the apartment. So if you hear any construction or painting or smell paint, what's going on is the HEART committee is kind of getting that room ready for those missionaries, so we don't have to give them hotel rooms, especially for missions conference, and with them staying 2 weeks. So they're getting some paint ready and getting a bed and stuff down there. So if you have any questions or wanting to help with that, the HEART committee said you can reach out to them if you have any ideas or want to reach out to them. So reach out to them. They're going to try to get that done, at least get it livable. I guess the last tenants that you had lived down there were just terrible people. So they had three little Tasmanian devils living in there. So so we're going to try to get that prepared for the missionaries that are coming in. The Barnes are coming in July, then two other missionaries a month before missions conference, then a whole week, or the 3 days of missions conference coming up. So I'm going to get that geared up. So if you hear smell paint or something, that's what's going on down there. If I can remember, there's something else that I was supposed to mention. That's why you're supposed to write things down. But what happens when you write it down? And then you forget the paper, right? We do have an anniversary that's tomorrow. Jim and Vi Potts are celebrating their 63rd anniversary. So, so make sure that you congratulate them. Archie? Who's the Bills? We don't have to mention whose anniversary is today, so. Everyone's saying, who's your wife posting on Facebook? Who's that man that she was with in a wedding dress? So I said, that was about 50 pounds ago that my someone was looking at our, today's our wedding anniversary. But people have been, I tell people when you have control of the mic, you can embarrass who you want and not embarrass who you don't want. So people have been telling us happy anniversary and saying, you know, you look good back then. I said, thanks. And the funny thing is my boys, when they'll look at our wedding pictures, we were looking at him one day, and Titus looked at our wedding pictures, and he says, Dada, who's that with Mommy? So, you know, I married my wife knowing she's a good cook, but I didn't think of the repercussions after it. So, anyway, we're glad to have Cody, our potential candidate for, well, I guess he's official candidate, not potential candidate anymore. He's candidating for our youth position. So he was with us this morning in Sunday school with the teens and did a good job this morning, didn't he? Did a very good job this morning. So hopefully he's not as nervous tonight. I told him it's a little tougher crowd in the evenings. So, but Cody, come on.
Well, tonight we're going to be in Psalm chapter number 19. What was that? Oh, it's on. I can hear it. Sorry. We're going to be in Psalm 19. And I just want to thank you guys again for having me come back out here. It really was a blast. And I'm supposed to fly out tomorrow. And so hopefully if you have any more questions for me, you can come see me after the service. And I'd love to try to answer what I can. But if you found your place in Psalm 19, I would just want to ask you one simple question. What do you believe about this book? You don't have to answer me. I just want you to think about that question. What do you believe about this book? And do you believe that this eternal book was given by an eternal being? Because that eternal being that gave us this book inspired it, and he preserved it for all of us so that we could have our very own copy in our hands. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but there are many countries in our world today that it is illegal to have a copy of this book. And I don't know about you, but that just proves to me Christianity is real. If they can have all these other books that teach all these other different things about other gods, but they can't have this book, and Christ told us that Christians were going to suffer for his name's sake, it just reminds me that Christianity is real. And so I know I'm investing my life in the work that he's called me to do because of that. But according to 1 Peter 1:21, God used humble men. He used humble men who desired to be used of him to pin down every word that we have here in this book, okay? There are no errors in any passage or in any verse, which makes the Bible, his word, trustworthy and dependable. It makes it perfect. The way that you view this book is the way that you view God. And the way that you view God is the way that you view this book. And I hope you understand what I mean by that. But a lot of people will say, well, that's your choice for you to follow this book. You're absolutely right. This book requires faith. You must have faith to believe what this book says. Otherwise, you know, people say, well, you can't prove that God exists. Well, I don't have to, because in Romans 1 in verses 18 through 25, it tells us all the evidence that we need to know that there is a God. Because his wrath has been revealed against all sin, he has been made manifest before all men, and the invisible things of him have been clearly seen through the creation of the world. We can learn that there is a creator, but many people just refuse to believe because They'd rather not put their faith in this book, but they'll rather put their faith in some theory and some false idea of how the world began. But I say all that to say this, that this book is perfect and that it requires faith, okay? God says to put your faith and trust in him and in his word. And so how I would answer that question about what do you believe about this book, this is what I believe. I believe that this book is powerful. I believe that it is a living book. I believe it is an indestructible book. And I believe that all those things matter. And that could be proven. Throughout many centuries, many have tried to destroy this book. Many, even Catholic churches, they would have burning parties, and they'd gather all the Bibles they can and try to burn them. But guess what? I still have a copy because God preserved it. Mankind has always tried to destroy the Word of God, but it is a living book. In chapter 40 and verse 8, the Bible says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall what? Stand forever." Okay? The book you hold in your hands is not an ordinary book. It is a supernatural book. And the title of my message tonight is The Supernatural Work of the Bible. I have two questions for you today that I want you to think about throughout the rest of the service, because I'll ask you again at the end. What is this book to you, and what will you do with this book? Okay? Think about that. So my first point about this book, I want you to look at Psalm 19 so we can read through that first. In verse number 7, it talks about God's law. And verse number 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." Verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." There are 5 points that I have for you tonight regarding the Word of God. And many of you guys may know these 5 points, and that's totally fine. But I hope that these 5 points will be a good reminder for you to show you the importance of why we need the Bible in our life. We must live by what the Bible says, because this is God's word to us. God doesn't speak audibly to us. He's given us his word so that we can study it, so that we can know him more, so that we can have a relationship with him. But my first point about the Bible is that his word delivers. His word delivers. It delivers from 2 aspects. The first one, from habitual sin. According to Psalm 119 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." You know, if you're struggling with some habitual sin that you can't conquer, it just seems like you can't have victory over it, have you tried opening up the Bible? Have you tried meditating on verses? Have you tried praying and seeking wisdom from God? Lord, help me to have victory over this. And I promise you, if you are willing to submit yourself to God and to his word, you can have victory. His word will deliver you from that. God's word will help you to overcome the sins that easily beset you. But it also delivers you from heresy. We live in a world that has all kinds of ideas and false truths out there. And we must be willing to guard ourselves from that. We must guard ourselves using this. This is our sword, and we must use this weapon. In 1 John 4:1, the Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." You must use the Bible as your measuring stick to distinguish truth from error. The reason many do not see the truth is because they do not know the truth. They do not desire the truth. They're just influenced by what false teachers tell them, and they are not willing to take the time to study it for themselves. And let me tell you something. If you're not studying God's word, you're setting yourself up for disaster. You're setting yourself up to be abused by a false teacher. And in 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved, not unto man, but unto God." God wants you to study his word. He wants you to know what the Bible says. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you searched the Bible to find the answers to the questions you've had in your life? When was the last time you had a question and you just couldn't seem to wrap your mind around the answer, but you never opened up the Bible? You never looked to see what God says about the issue. But the first point is that his word delivers. It's a very truthful point. And if my second point is this, his word directs, okay? Teenagers and adults alike are searching for direction. You know, we want to figure out, what does God want to do in my life? What does he want me to do? And if most people will either get their direction from the world, which is most of the case, or they will get their direction from God. Let me tell you, the best place you can get direction from is from God, okay? You definitely want his wisdom. But it directs to holiness. It always points to holiness. Psalm 119 and verse 133 says, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity or sin have dominion over me. Let it not conquer me. May your word conquer me so that sin will not." Before the Supreme Court redefined marriage in America a couple years ago, many homosexuals tried to use the Bible to prove that their sinful practices were okay, that God blessed them for it. Believe me, I've heard all kinds of stories, and I'm sure you have too. You've heard about it from their own testimonies. Listen, they're not studying Scripture. They're twisting it to make it say what they want it to say. And that's the other thing. We must be careful that we don't twist Scripture when we read it to make it say what we want it to say. We need to make sure that we interpret the way that God said it. That's how we must interpret Scripture. But it always points to holiness. His word will never contradict what God says about sin. Never. It will never contradict itself. It also points to the Holy One. In Psalm 119, verse 160, the Bible says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And because God is a perfect and holy and just God, this is a perfect, holy, and just book because it is his word. Just as a compass always points north, the Bible will always point to the Savior. So every time you study his word, it should draw you to Christ. It should draw you to live closer and to live just like him as he has commanded us to. God's will for your life is never divorced from this book. You will never discover God's will for your life if you choose to neglect it and never pick it up in your life. You will never know what God's will is for your life. You must be submitted to him. You must be sensitive to the Spirit of God, and you must study his word so that you can figure out what God's purpose is for your life. Because every one of us are different. And I believe every one of us has a different calling. We have a different purpose. But we all have one purpose, and that's to serve the Lord. It's just different ways of doing stuff. And I believe God calls us to specific things, but we all do the same work. We all work together to see people come to Christ, to see world become impacted for him. So number one, his word delivers, his word directs. Number three, his word diverts. Every time you read this book, it should challenge you to change, to be more like the Lord. The reason why many Christians neglect this book, why they do not desire to read it, is because they know they're going to have to change. Because every time you read this book, it's going to address your heart. It's going to convict you of sin. And you know what? Most people don't want to get rid of their sin. They don't want to give it up, unfortunately. But the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." When's the last time you meditated on a portion of Scripture? When was the last time that you prayed asking God for wisdom and understanding to understand a passage, even to the point where it would help you not to sin against the Lord? But his word will divert you from the path of unrighteousness. And every time that we read his book, his word, we should have a heart of love for the Savior so that we will not have a heart of love for sin. But it also will divert us from the path of unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. I'm sorry I'm reading so many verses, but I love having supporting scripture. I'm using the word of God here. The Bible says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And this passage is talking about how easy it is to cultivate an evil heart of unbelief. He tells us to watch out, to beware, because sin will do that to you. And when you have an evil heart of unbelief, you are departing from the living God. You are rejecting him. You're rejecting his word. But unbelief is equal to a lack of faith and even denying who the Lord is. That's what unbelief is. So his word will divert you from your life of living in sin to a life of holiness, to a life of change. Because that's what repentance is all about, is it not? It's a change of mind. And that's what the Lord wants to do in your life. He wants to make a change. And he already has if you're a Christian. But you must live according to his word. And my fourth point is this. His word demands. Demands what? My first subpoint would be love. I believe God's word demands our love. In Psalm 119, 165, by the way, the book of Psalms contains so many passages about why God's word is perfect, why God's word is trustworthy, and why we should be in love with this book and how much we should be passionate about it. But in Psalm 119, 165, the Bible says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Psalm 119, verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law." How many of us here can say that we truly love God's word? But for many of us here, we probably don't pick it up during the week. Many of us here, we probably just pick it up when we come to church on Sunday. It's probably collected some dust and you have to wipe it off a little bit. But let me tell you, a successful Christian will meditate in this book. So we must have love for his word. One pastor said the way to spell love is T-I-M-E. Did you get that? Another way to spell love is T-I-M-E. And that is actually my second subpoint, okay? In Psalm chapter 1, verse number 2, the Bible says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate." Just in the afternoon? No, the Bible says day and night. Listen, our hearts have to be fixed on his word. We have to meditate on it. The number one excuse of Christians not reading his word is, "I just don't have time." I'm sure you guys have heard that. I'm sure you've even used that excuse as well. Every one of us here in this room has 24 hours in a day. It's how we manage our time. It's how we manage our priorities. And you have to manage time properly so that you can have time to read this book and have time to meditate in his word. And that's another thing, meditation. So his word demands love. It demands time. Demands meditation. In Psalm 119, verse 97, it said, not only does it say, "Oh, how I love thy law," but it goes on to say, "It is my meditation all the day." Joshua 1:8. If you want to know a good portion of Scripture that talks about the Bible and how to have good success, Joshua 1:8 is a perfect verse. The Bible says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." We must meditate in his word. Did you know that most successful people in the world, I'm not talking about Christians right now, some of the most successful people in our world today, they have the discipline of meditating on their art or their craft, on what they do. They spend so much time, so much energy on doing what they know best that that's what makes them successful. For most people, we just waste time. We're not successful in our Christian life because we choose not to meditate. We choose to use our time and our energy on other things that don't matter. But here, to be successful, we must meditate on his word. We must have it on our hearts day in and day out. And then that brings me to my last point. His word will dissect. One of the things that I loved about middle school was our science class. And one of the things that we loved to do, or we could not wait to do, was dissect frogs, okay? I don't know why kids find it fun to do that. Maybe because they get tired of the teacher always talking, I guess. I suppose they get knives and stuff. They get to peel back layers of skin and different parts, and they get to see the insides of the frog that they couldn't see on the outside. But we always look forward to doing that. And you know what? That's what his word does. God's word will look into the deepest parts of your heart. He peels back the layers of your dark, cold heart to find the root of the problem that's at hand so that you can deal with it and make it right with the Lord. In Jeremiah 23, verse 29, the Bible says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Did you catch that last part? This book acts as a sword, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of what? Our heart. That's why we need his word in our life. And if you choose to not pick it up, if you choose not to study it and to read it for yourself, you're not only living a life of disobedience, but you're destroying your life altogether because you're choosing not to live for the Lord, and you're not getting to know him either. His word always targets the root of the problem, which is found buried in the heart. And that's why I believe his word does that. It peels back the layers of our heart to get to the root of the problem, and he wants us to make it right. God desires to do a great work in your life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God wants to do a work in your life? I do. But are you close to him? Do you try to get to know him by reading his word? The only time God will not do a great work in your life is if you choose to be separated from this book. And that's the truth. We must be enamored and we must be consumed with what God says in his word. Because that's how we get to know him, that's how we get to know his ways, and that's how we get to draw closer to the Lord ourselves, but it's also how we can teach others about the Lord as well. But you want to know why believers don't have the desire, and I already said this, because they don't want to change. When they see their sin, they don't want to change. But if you don't want to change, why do we come to church? If you don't want to change, why do you proclaim the name of Christ but you don't read his word? If you choose to neglect his word, your life will be absolutely miserable. And I know firsthand of what that's like. And I'm sure many of you here know that as well. But like I said, tonight I just want this to be good reminders. In Proverbs 13 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." Do you see the contrast there? Psalm 119 and verse 112 says, "I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end." Now let me ask you something. The psalmist here who wrote this, he said, I have purposed in my heart, I have inclined in my heart to perform your statutes. What if he didn't have it? How could he perform it? How can you perform what God wants you to do if you choose not to use it? And that's the point. You must purpose in your heart to love God, to obey his word, to draw closer to him, and to keep his commandments. Because, I don't know if you know this or not, but the Bible gives us commands. God gives us guidance on how we should live. He tells us what we should do, what we shouldn't do, what we should draw, what we should love and be passionate about, and what we should abstain from, what we should hate. There are things in God's word that teach us about those certain things, but many of us, we don't care. And that's part of our problem. We have an apathetic attitude toward his word. We just don't care. And I pray that with these reminders that I hope you understand that there is a need to get back to the Bible, to get back to knowing who God is, so that not only will it help you with your sinful life, it'll help you from being abused by false teachers, it'll help you to know that, hey, this book is trustworthy, it has all the answers that I need. We need to get back to that. Whatever your heart is fixed on the most, it will be the thing that you spend the most time and energy doing. And I kind of touched on this a little bit this morning. But if you choose not to study his word, you're choosing to do other things that don't matter, and you're wasting your time, you're wasting your effort, you're wasting your energy on things that will not have any reward for you at the end. But if you love God, you will invest your time in this book. Do you hear me? If you love God, if you can stand here, we can sing these songs, and you can tell me face to face, I love the Lord. Are you reading his word? If you love his word, you will invest your time in prayer to seek wisdom, to seek understanding from the God who can give you those things, to know what his word is trying to tell you. Because there are some complicated parts of scripture, are there not? There are some things that's hard to wrap your head around, okay? Because we're finite beings trying to understand an infinite God. But he's given us his word so that we can learn more about him. If you struggle reading the Bible, have you tried finding an accountability partner? Someone who can hold you accountable, someone who can challenge you. Hey, can you just try 5 minutes a day? Just read this section of scripture. Tell me what you believe it says. Tell me how you can apply it to your life. Just little challenges like that. Spend time with others who challenge you spiritually. You know, if you struggle with having a desire to read this book, spend time with people who love doing it. Figure out, okay, how do you interpret this? How do you ask the right questions to come up with the answers that you find here in this word? Spend time with the right kind of people, and that will help you. The more you invest into this book, the more you will gain understanding, the more you will gain blessings from God. I don't know when the last time was when you read this book, but God will bless you when you do. He gives you words of comfort, and he often gives you words of chastisement. Of conviction, but it's necessary for your good as a believer. Let's read Psalm chapter 19 one more time. I want you to look at verse number 10. Everything that this psalm talked about was about the laws of God, about the statutes of God. And in verse number 10, the Bible says, more are they to be desired than what? Than gold. You know how many people desire gold? I talked about it this morning. They desire it a lot, but do people desire to get to know God's laws, to get to know him? Unfortunately, not very many. But the Bible says, more are they to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Not only is that, but these words are sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. You must understand, God is not telling you this so that he doesn't want to make your life miserable. But your life will be miserable if you don't do what God tells you to do. And that's only found in his word. So back to my two questions tonight. What is this book to you? Do you treasure this book? And after tonight, what will you do with this book? Will you go home? Will you forget about what was said tonight, what was said this morning, what was said last week or whatever? And just set it down, turn the TV on, live your life, and not meditate on what was said. I hope that won't be you tonight. But I hope that you will pick up this book on a daily basis like you should and figure out what God wants to speak to you about. Many times people don't have the answers to life's problems because they're not close to the Lord. And they choose not to be close to the Lord because they choose not to open the book. But if you understand that God has given you this book because it's his words, then you're gonna live in misery. You're gonna be a very miserable person. And if you wanna prove that, ask some of the most miserable people in this world, ask them how much they read their Bible. You know what they're gonna say? I don't. And that's why people are so miserable. That's what's wrong with many of our churches today. We try to find the best program, we try to find the best kind of music or whatever it is. Really what we need is this. We need to get back to this. And if we don't, we're just going to keep looking and looking and looking and looking. We're never going to find it. So my challenge to you tonight is get back to the Word. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the service. Lord, I know it was a little short tonight, but Lord, I pray that the reminders that you've challenged me with and the main points here tonight, I pray that that will challenge and remind the people here tonight of how important and how precious and how sweet your words are to us. And Lord, may we never go another day without reading your word, without depending on you for understanding and for answers to our life's questions. And Lord, I just pray that tonight, I know it was a simple message, I just pray that everyone grasps the idea that we must love your word. We must meditate on it. And in order to do that, we must spend time in it. And Lord, thank you again for this opportunity to be out here today. And I pray that you'll bless the service and bless the remainder of our evening. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.